in the dream, you are falling, lost in the listening distance, as dark locks in. Nightfall. Good evening. This week, we have yet another change of pace for you. But you'd better be in shape for it. The play by Calgary writer Tony Bell is called The Jogger.
Braddock High is an old school, a lot older than it used to be. Rumor has it may shut down soon for lack of enrollment. But the goalposts are still up. The kids still play touch football on weekends. And if they were as old as me, they could remember a game 30 years ago when a kid named Joe Brady was all the rage.
There's a pass over the middle of Brady. He breaks the tackle. He's in the clear. He's at the 25. The 20. They're not
yes, sir. They'd think of the day when Joe Brady scored a touchdown in the final play of the game to win the city championship. He was quite the kid, young Joe. All city halfback. He was going places, no doubt about it. Everybody said so.
Tommy is early still. Just one more.
You already had your one more. It's 2 o'clock, Joe. Go home.
Come on. I'm buying drinks for everyone.
Don't try me, Joe.
Hey, we'll have a drink together, Tommy, for old times. Don't you care about old times?
That's all you ever drink to, Joe. Why don't you try drinking to some new times for a change?
Yes, sir, they all said so. Now, 30 years and 20 pounds later, half the people who said so are dead. And the other half? Well, they said a lot of things 30 years ago. But I don't feel bitter. In fact, I haven't felt much of anything for a long time. Or so I thought.
Why is it I can never find two socks that look remotely the same?
Well, well. You certainly look terrific.
Look, Marion, don't start.
You better sit down before you fall down.
We got any aspirin?
Mm-hmm. Get it yourself. I'm not going to play nursemaid to your hangovers.
I am not hungover.
I suppose you were playing darts at the hotel till 2 o'clock last night. Here. Eat your breakfast.
Marion, I don't have to answer to you.
Of course not. I mean, I'm just the person who has to make excuses when you're too hammered to get to work.
Why do we sit here and do this every bloody morning?
As if it's my fault.
Excuse me.
Oh, I know you'd like to get rid of me. Well, keep it up. One of these days, you might just get your wish.
I walked out on the front porch to get the newspaper. It's a hell of a life you descended to, Joe Brady. Look at you. You can't even pick up a newspaper without stumbling all over the porch. That's when I first noticed him. It was a jogger, running along the road in front of the house. For some reason, I watched him pass. The sun was still low, blinding. Couldn't make out whether it was somebody from the neighborhood or not.
All I could see was the red and white jogging suit with a big maple leaf on the back. By the time I could get my eyes focused, he was well past, gliding easily over the gravel down the long path to the park. It was just a jogger. Dozens of them followed the path to the park during the day. Why had I stopped for this one?
Joe! Come inside. Your breakfast is getting cold.
What? Yeah. Yeah, sure. Nobody should say or do anything before breakfast. We got in the car to drive to work.
Busy day?
Usual.
Remember you've got that appointment with Dr. Sims this afternoon.
Oh, not again.
Look, you missed the last one.
Marion, the man is a quack. I go there once a week so he can tell me that I'm overweight, my blood pressure's elevated, and I have a death wish.
That makes him a quack.
That makes him redundant.
Oh, God.
I can get you to play the same broken record for free.
Well, somebody's got to keep telling you. Look, it's not our fault if you don't have the sense to listen.
Right.
Joe, I don't understand you. You know you're headed for a heart attack or a stroke, yet you don't even seem to care.
Look, there he is again.
What? What?
In the rearview mirror. I can see him behind.
What? Behind?
Don't you see him?
What are you talking about?
He just passed by here a few minutes ago.
For God's sake, Joe, I am trying to talk to you about your health.
But he's coming from the same direction again. How could he get back there so soon?
Will you stop changing the subject?
See that? His legs hardly seem to be moving, and yet he's already halfway up the path.
Joe, what's the matter? The sweat's pouring off you. I can hear your heart pounding all the way over here. Honestly, you react to every little thing as if it's a crisis. Honey, look, you're going to have to keep that appointment today before you drive both of us crazy.
What?
I give up. Come on. Drive.
For once, Marion and I were in agreement. I decided to go to my appointment after all. As usual, the good doctor's news was on the cheerless side.
Joe, I don't get it. We just can't seem to get that hypertension of yours under control. Are you taking those pills I gave you?
Sure, when I remember them.
Joe, this is your life we're talking about. And frankly, I don't see what the problem is. Now, you've got a good job, you've been married to the same woman for 25 years, and you don't have any kids to bleed your pockets dry. I'd say you've got quite a bit going for you.
That's one perspective, Frank.
Well, what are you going to do? Dive into the sauce till your liver packs in?
There are worse ways to go.
Oh, you sound like some kid who's hoping his teacher will kick him out for bad behavior. Well, forget it, Joe. I'll save you in spite of yourself.
Why? Are you planning to write me up in a medical journal?
Now, look, I'm going to put you on another diet, and I want you to stick to it and lay off the booze and try getting some exercise for once. I don't think you've worked up a sweat since you got out of high school.
Maybe I should take up jogging.
Good idea. That's just the thing you need.
That was meant to be a joke, Frank. Then again, maybe it wasn't a joke. As I was to find out later.
Joe?
Yes, Mr. Benedict.
Are you through with the Henderson report yet?
Not quite.
Well, what are you doing? Reading the French side as well?
I'll have it to you in a minute, Mr. Benedict. Listen to yourself, Joe Brady. A 48-year-old man calling other people Mr.
Brady?
Yes, Susan?
Call for you on 9-2.
Who is it?
He didn't say.
Thanks.
Mr. Brady? Mr. Joe Brady?
Yes.
This is John Miles.
Yes?
You were talking to me just a few hours ago.
What?
Mr. Brady, I'm the guy who runs the Miles Athletic Club. You called up about a membership.
Did Dr. Sims put you up to this?
Who?
Now, look, I'm sorry. You must have the wrong Joe Brady. Try calling information. What? He was there again. outside the window. The same red and white jogging suit, the same measured stride. Or was it? The afternoon sun obscured him. I could only make out his legs like spokes where the light met the pavement.
Mr. Brady, are you still there?
What? Mr. Miles. Sure.
Well, what do you say, Mr. Brady? Do you want to be a member or not?
Yes. Yes, why not? I'm sorry. Stay right there, Mr. Miles. I'm coming right over.
It was too much of a coincidence. There had to be a link between the phone call and what I had or hadn't seen. Maybe this Miles character could help me clear things up.
This is really just your basic gymnasium, Mr. Brady. You got your exercise machines and your weights and your whirlpools.
Yes, it's fine. Very nice.
Well, excuse me for saying this, Mr. Brady, but you look like something of a stranger to gymnasiums.
To exercise in general, Mr. Miles. But don't let that fool you. I used to be a pretty fair footballer in my day. First string, all-city, the year we won the championship in 1949.
Oh. Before my time, I'm afraid. Well, where would you like to start? The weight room? Sauna?
How about with the joggers?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, don't you have any jogging groups here?
Well, not really. Jogging's sort of an individual thing. They like to go out on their own. You know, find their own pace, set their own goals.
Do you happen to know anybody who wears a red and white jogging suit?
Yeah, sure.
With a red maple leaf on the back?
Ah, there must be 1,000 of them. It's a popular style.
I've got to find you.
Oh, yeah?
You know, what I mean is this person's been looking for me.
Look, Mr. Brady, why don't you have a nice whirlpool? Relax some of those muscles. Let your mind go blank for a while.
There he is. Do you see him?
What? Mr. Brady, where are you going? There's nobody out there.
I took off after him. I lost him for a moment, but I knew he was still around. Nearby.
No, wait. There by the exit. Wait! I want to talk to you.
I followed him. Ran after him out onto the street. Across the intersection. 3-4 blocks. He disappeared into the crowd. No, there were flashes of him between the people.
What do you want with me? What do you want?
But all I could see was the back of his jacket, that maple leaf flapping in the breeze. I ran faster than I thought I could. There was no use.
Hey, you almost knocked me over.
I had a good mind to call a cop.
He was gone. But somehow I knew I hadn't lost him. I knew he wouldn't let me lose him. I could wait. Meanwhile, I could get in better shape. Next time, he'd meet the number one member of the Miles Athletic Club. I discovered that my body was no longer the kind of old friend I could use or abuse as I liked, because it would still be my friend. I had ignored it for too long for it not to know how to betray me. But I had one thing going for me. My body's memory of itself, of how it used to serve me without my knowing it. It might lay cunning traps for me, like muscle cramps or sudden searing aches. But it couldn't ignore or unlearn the secret knowledge of the power it used to own. It had nothing to do with me, beyond my will. But it meant everything.
I gotta say this, Mr. Brady. I've never had a customer who's made the same progress you've made in the last few months. You know, you keep this up, you'll be racing against men 20 years younger.
Only 20? That's not good enough, Miles.
Not surprisingly, my good friend the doctor was equally quick to approve of the change in me.
That's amazing, Joe. You've lost 20 pounds, your blood pressure's down. You're beginning to make me feel like an old man. What's happened to you, Joe? What's the secret?
Maybe all that nagging of yours finally got through to me.
But, Joe, maybe you're rushing things a bit. You're doing too much. The body's a delicate instrument, you know.
I can't hear you, Frank.
Joe? Joe? You have to do push-ups in the living room. Joe, you get sweat on the carpets again.
Can't stop now.
Oh, come on.
44.
Look, don't you think you're overdoing it?
46.
Joe, you're not a young man. You know, you're 48 years old.
48? How can I forget with you constantly reminding me?
Just as well I do. You wouldn't have made it to 48 without me propping you up.
Well, you don't need to prop me up anymore. You see, I can stand on my own now. You can leave with a clear conscience if you like.
Well, darling, don't think the idea hasn't occurred to me.
I can't let things go on the way they have, Marion. I am not fat anymore. I can't roll with your punches. I feel the hurt.
Hurt? What about the hurt I felt for the past 25 years? Playing nursemaid to a drunk.
I know. And I suppose I should be grateful for that. You were afraid of what would happen to me. But that's not love, Marion, or anything like it.
Oh, you just shut up. God, I can't bear to hear you talk like this. Wish to God you were fat again.
It's too late. There's no turning back now.
What do you mean? Where are you going, Joe?
I go for a run every evening at dusk up the path to the park, hoping to find him. I'd stand on the path and wait. So far, there'd be no sign of him.
Well, I'd better head home. He's not coming tonight. What's that?
I looked up the path, and there he was, bearing down on me. A shroud of dust and darkness rose up around him, obscuring his body. He was no longer the peaceful jogger with the measured stride. His speed was inhumanly fast. The legs protracting and retracting like demonic pistons. He was almost on top of me.
What do you want? Answer me!
I took off. He was already there. The sound of his footsteps, like small explosions. His wild breathing engulfing me on all sides. His heartbeat. Strong and confident. Deafening. Forced me down. Into the dirt.
Stop! Stop!
And then there was nothing. Just nothing. Had he passed at all? It was only the wind and the dirt on my face to remind me what had happened. Next time I'd be ready for him. My body was getting stronger all the time. All I lacked was speed. I'd find that somehow. I'd wait for him, and when he passed, I'd give chase and catch him. And then bring him down with one of Joe Brady's famous flying tackles, just like in the old days 30 years ago, when there wasn't a man made who couldn't be caught, when there wasn't a place I couldn't run to without the slightest of efforts.
Pass over the middle of Brady. He breaks the tackle. He's in the clear. He's at the 25. The 20. Third up back. He should be at the 10. Touchdown, Joe Brady!
They all knew me then. And my own body knew me best of all.
Yes, Mr. Benedict.
I've been buzzing you for 10 minutes. What are you doing? Sleeping?
Not at all, Mr. Benedict.
Used to be I could at least count on you to be incompetent. Now it seems all you're good for is taking up space.
Dr. Sims on 9-1.
Look, Joe, all this exercising is well and good, but don't you think you're going too far, too fast? You can't make up for 30 years in 3 months.
9-3, Mr. Brady.
I've thought it over, Joe, and you're right. There's nothing holding us together anymore.
Marry the waiter.
Are you listening, Brady? This company's been carrying you on its back for 20 years.
Your heart can't take the strain, Joe. You'll have an attack if you're not careful.
I think it's best I leave before killing yourself.
You're through, Brady.
Gosh.
Hello? Hello?
I'm sorry, sir. You've been cut off.
Susan, what do you mean? Susan? Hello? Then he pulled away without effort. I couldn't let him get away. I'd come this far. I had. Again, I drew nearer and matched his speed. And then from somewhere, the strength came to go faster still. And faster. And faster. I could feel my body begin to tire. I was gaining on it. I had it.
Oh, my. I keep crying. The pain. It's that pain. The pain. You're almost there. Won't let me.
Silence. Peace. It was past. The body no longer screamed. I floated along, each muscle moving in crisp uniformity. I could catch him. We were equals. He stopped just ahead of me.
Please, don't run anymore. There's no point now. Please, don't run anymore. There's no point now.
I could see the maple leaf clearly on his jacket. He turned and came towards me, and there, at last. Well, maybe I'd known it from the start. Before me stood Joe Brady, the terror of Braddock High. With a spot of mud on his face from one of his famous flying tackles. He smiled at me then, as if he'd been with me all along, waiting for me to find him again. I started to say something, but too late. The image dissolved. Or had it? When I looked down at myself, there was a red maple leaf on my chest. And my jacket suddenly flapped in the breeze. I turned around, and there was an old man holding a football who couldn't understand why the crowds had stopped cheering. And when I turned again, there was his house where so much of his life had passed like a dream or a single breath. I breathed in.
and the dream vanished. There was no turning back. I took a final look around, then, making sure my shoes were laced good and tight, I started to run. In easy, measured strides, past the streetlights, past the houses, down the long, narrow path to where? Where? I could only guess. But a guess was good enough, because my body was there, and I was perfectly inside it. And my body didn't care if I was there at all.